Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. The Canadian Martyrs were 8 Jesuit missionaries ritually tortured and killed during the warfare between the Iroquois, particularly the Mohawk people, and the Huron. These priests were subsequently venerated as martyrs by the Catholic Church and canonized by Pope Pius XI in 1930. Shrines have been erected, churches and schools dedicated, and municipalities named after the Canadian martyrs. When growing up in French Catholic Quebec, I was taught stories of the bravery exemplified by these holy men, with one in particular standing out, Father Jean de Brébeuf, who died a violent death in what is now southern Ontario in 1649. In 1940, he was proclaimed one of the patron saints of Canada by Pope Pius XII, and in 1984, Pope John Paul II prayed over Brébeuf's skull before joining in an outdoor ecumenical service on the grounds of the nearby Martyr's Shrine. The service mixed pre-Christian First Nation ritual with Catholic liturgy and was attended by an estimated 75,000 people.
Saints Jean de Brébeuf, Isaac Jogues, and companions who were North American martyrs. As a young Jesuit, Isaac Jogues left behind a successful career as a teacher in France to go to the New World as a missionary. In 1636, he and his companions, under the leadership of Father Jean de Brébeuf, arrived in Quebec to work among the Hurons. The Hurons, however, were constantly at war with the Iroquois, who captured Father Jogues and held him captive for 13 months. With the help of the Dutch, he escaped, returning to France, but bearing the marks of his sufferings. Several fingers had been cut, burned, or chewed off. Pope Urban VIII gave him permission to offer Mass with his mutilated hand, saying it would be shameful for a martyr of Christ not to be allowed to drink of the blood of Christ. But Father Jogues felt a great call to return and in a few months went back to the mission among the Hurons. In 1646, he and Father Jean de Lalonde set out for Iroquois country but were captured by a Mohawk war party, and on October 18th, Father Jogues was tomahawked and then beheaded. Father Jean de Lalonde was killed the next day in a village near Albany, New York. Father Anthony Daniel worked among the Hurons, who were gradually becoming Christians, but was killed by the Iroquois on July 4, 1646. Father Jean de Brébeuf came to Canada at the age of 32 and worked there for 24 years, composing catechism, a dictionary, and converting 7,000 Hurons. But in 1649, he was captured by the Iroquois near Georgian Bay and died after 4 hours of extreme torture. Father Gabriel Lamont, Father Charles Darnier, and Father Noel were also killed in 1649. These Jesuit martyrs were canonized in 1930. St. Jean de Brébeuf, St. Isaac Jogues, and companions who were North American martyrs.
The Jesuits' first community in the interior of North America was called St. Marie among the Hurons. For 10 years, from 1639 to 1649, it was the headquarters of a network of Jesuit missions that spread all across Huronia and other parts of southern Ontario. The European Catholic Counter-Reformation spawned a missionary order that had a huge impact on the North American native peoples. The Jesuitical zeal in harvesting souls motivated France's colonial drive as much as the beaver harvest. The young Jesuit clergymen, known as God's soldiers, who lived there, put down the first real roots of French culture in the New World. The first Jesuits to come to the New World landed in the St. Lawrence Valley in 1620. They very quickly realized that it would be difficult to convert the local semi-nomadic Algonquin Indians because they never stayed in one place for very long. Consequently, they decided to concentrate most of their efforts on the more sedentary Huron farmers of Ontario. Soon, black robes, as the native peoples called the Jesuits, were traveling in the canoes of the Indians up the Ottawa River to Huronia. By the 1630s, a number of Jesuit missions had been established in southern Ontario, with their headquarters at St. Marie. This mission was a microcosm of French civilization, complete with a chapel, cemetery, forge, workshops, and a small hospital. Meanwhile, the Jesuits in the St. Lawrence Valley founded a school for Amerindian and French boys in 1635. 4 years later, a group of Ursuline nuns arrived to set up a convent school for girls, while the nursing order Religieuse Hospitalière established one of the first hospitals in North America and the first in New France, Hôtel Dieu in Quebec. A group of influential Catholics in France decided that if a mission could be started on the island of Montreal, it might encourage the nomadic Algonquins to settle there permanently so that, like the Hurons of Huronia, they could be transformed into virtuous Catholics. The utopian religious settlement that was built was a reflection of the Catholic cult of the Virgin Mary. They called it Ville Marie, the town of Mary, their new Jerusalem on the banks of the St. Lawrence, today known as Montreal. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, is a Roman Catholic order of religious men founded in 1534 by St. Ignatius of Loyola. Known for its evangelization, as well as its educational, cultural, and charitable works, the Black Robes were once regarded as the principal force of the Counter-Reformation, and later a leading agent in modernizing the Catholic Church. First contact brought about culture shock and a clash of civilizations throughout the age of exploration on the North American continent. In New France, my corner of the world, the French established an extensive colony in the New World from 1534 to 1763, exactly 100 years after Jacques Cartier first sailed up the mighty St. Lawrence River to Quebec City, formerly known as the Aboriginal village of Stadacona. Most Algonquin Huron settlements lived by hunting and fishing, and Catholic Jesuit priests from France lived amongst them. The nations of the Iroquois Confederacy considered the Jesuits legitimate targets of their raids and warfare. We cannot minimize the importance of religion in the 17th century. One should not underestimate the Christian need to evangelize, to spread the word of God and share the good news of Jesus with all peoples of the earth in order to bring on the end time. Preaching to Amerindians was fraught with danger. The Iroquois did not take nicely to the Jesuit door-knocking and often mocked and mistreated these evangelists. The Jesuit priests were not universally trusted. Many Amerindians considered them to be malevolent shamans who brought death and disease wherever they traveled. On the other hand, the Huron sorcerer or shaman is jealous of the priest's influence over the Algonquins and is as arrogant, adamant, and unflinching in his beliefs as the Jesuit priest. Both men use their faith, supposed secret knowledge, and spiritual connections as power to frighten, influence, and ultimately rule other humans. The huge difference between the two faiths is that only Christianity has an evangelical mission that has been a powerful catalyst through the common era for much good, bad, positive, and negative brought to the world. Native beliefs resemble Judaism, for example, which has no evangelical element. It seems to me that Jews, like Amerindians, are born into their faith and feel no need to convince others to convert and join their faith. I think that even if you have no religious faith whatsoever, or even if you despise the Jesuits, you would still find it an interesting story. It's a wonderful story of obsession and love, and it is a wonderful adventure of the spirit and of the body. What those people did, going to a country where winters were far more severe than anything they had known in Europe, meeting people who were far more fierce than anyone they had ever encountered, having to deal with these people showing us something of humanity at its greatest. It's the equivalent of today's people getting into space shuttles and going off into space. It takes unbelievable courage to do this. As mentioned, the culture clash is dramatic and cannot be underestimated. An Algonquin asking another tribesman, "Are these foreigners intelligent?" The answer given was a terse and categorical no. A lot has been said about European negative evaluations and impressions of Native Americans, but the same can be said in reverse. In many ways, I'm sure Amerindians at the time felt morally superior to these foreigners, despite their technological advances. It was European advantages in technology, the unwitting transmission of diseases and eventually sheer superiority in numbers that would overwhelm these native societies. Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying images. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you're enjoying the ride. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.